Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
J.P. Finley, the mock draft series continues to march on. Nobody is giving you more coverage on the Redskins and what they're going to do this week. It is draft week, everybody. It is finally here. The wait is over. Thursday night will be there in a blink of an eye, and the Redskins will be on the clock with the 15th overall pick. I'm J.P. Finley, Redskins insider here at NBC Sports Washington. We are brought to you by the good folks at Papa John's Pizza. They got the dipping sauce. They got the really big pepperoni. It's good pizza. Check them out. Here's what we're going to do today. We're this close to the NFL draft, and it's time to start figuring out what will happen in a number of different scenarios. That means, could the Skins trade up? Could the Skins trade back? What happens if they stay right there at 15? You'll notice they have 2 third-round picks. How can they leverage those to maybe move around in the draft? You'll notice they have 2 fifth-round picks, 2 seventh-round picks. There's a lot of moves that are going to happen for the Redskins in the NFL draft. There's nobody better to talk about all the different scenarios that could unfold this week than my dude, Josh Norris. He's up in Connecticut, Roto World NFL analyst. Norris, how are you, buddy?
Fantastic. How are you, JP?
I am good. So you are so all in on the draft. Are you sleeping at all this week?
No joke. I recorded for 2 hours last Friday night, like every normal person does a podcast, and then spent my Easter Sunday editing that podcast for 4 hours. So please, everyone, go out there and subscribe to the Roto-World Football Podcast, just so I spent my time correctly.
Quickly, and you should subscribe to the Roto-World Football Podcast. It's great. It's huge. It's a lot of fun, especially in season with fantasy advice and everything else. But why does your editing take you twice as long as the recording?
Oh, because I had 5 different channels, 5 people on this podcast, so to make sure it just sounds great. That's why, JP, we're
going
the number one podcast in NBC Sports. That's what puts us above and beyond, is not only the person hosting, then they also edit. You know how it is.
On the Redskins Talk podcast, what I tried to sell it to Ted Griggs and my bosses here in D.C. is we like to be unconventional. So sometimes if the audio's bad, it's not because we didn't take the time to edit it. It's because we're unconventional. You got to work on your sales pitch, Norris.
I should have pitched it that way. I'll call you next time. How about that?
All right, let's get serious. Let's talk draft stuff. I think for the Redskins, there's a few ways this could unfold, and we'll kind of be specific to Thursday and then the overall picture. And there's a best case, a worst case, and then the most likely scenario. I want to go through all three, Josh, but I'm going to let you pick what you think. Where do you want to start? Best, worst, or most likely?
Well, why don't we start with the good news, right? Why don't we start with the best case, okay?
So go ahead,
JP.
Well, I think the best case scenario for this team is taking the best player available at 15.
But that's a myth.
Honestly, I think that's the most likely scenario, at least in the first round. So I'm curious where you are on the Skins at 15. What do you think the draft board's going to look like right in the heart of things there?
Yeah, but like best player available is just like, oh, I could pick any player that's there and call them best player available.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And we talked about needs last time I was on here. And what stands out most importantly, other than quarterback, is the edge rusher. You know, and then this is a class that is really deep at the top or has a lot of talent at the top, but kind of gets thin as you go in the second and third round. So if you want an edge rusher, take him there. Most importantly, JP, in recent mock drafts, we've seen names like Montez Sweat and Rashawn Gary be available in the 15th plus pick. You know, and those are players that if you get them on your team and you're comfortable with their evaluations, they have the upside and potential to win their one-on-one matchups. And we talked how difficult it is to find pass rushers with that potential. And so either one of those players, it is possible they're there at 15. And it's because their evaluations are a little cloudy.
Well, let me ask then. So let's start with Montez Sweat, because that was a guy that was connected to the Skins a lot when we were down in Mobile and as his stock was rising during the Senior Bowl. But then when Sweat got to the Combine and just tore it up and his measurables were off the charts, all of a sudden he's a top 10 lock. Now Sweat is starting to slip because of a heart condition. Do I have that right?
Yeah, so it's the same thing as last year with Maurice Hurst, I believe. This is what I've been told. And Maurice Hurst was, to me, a top 10 pick in last year's draft and slipped until day three. And, JP, it goes back to medicals, right?
Sure.
These are kind of binary. It's yes or no. You know, it's not, oh, we like him a little bit, so we're just going to drop him down around. It's either he's on our board or if he's off our board. And for Montez Sweat, you know, six teams that might have been interested in him in that 5th through 15th pick might not be anymore because of that medical. So that could allow him to be on the board. Now, you and I probably don't know if he's on the board
sure.
for the Redskins or not. But if we're talking about a player that is of extreme value at that position and also a very good evaluation, then Montez Sweat makes a lot of sense, especially if they clear him.
Well, and the Redskins have shown a ability or a willingness to draft guys with questionable medicals. Now, they're usually right. doing that later. If you look at Kendall Fuller and Fabian Moreau, guys they've drafted coming off injury, this is different that it's a heart condition. But I would point out that he's played all of his football with the same heart. He played SEC football at Mississippi State, and it's not like things have dramatically changed. The Gary situation you bring up is interesting. That's another guy, if I believe, he was the number one overall recruit when he got to the University of Michigan. Everybody considered him a top five, top seven guy. Now you think he could slip to 15?
Well, it's because he hasn't changed since that senior year of high school,
right.
honestly. Like, he's the exact same player he was
hasn't
then.
Hasn't added anything.
Nothing. But we talked about Montez Sweat and how much of an athlete he is. I mean, Rashawn Gary is just there with him. He's 6'4", 276 pounds, one of those bigger defensive ends as edge rushers we talked about, JP, last time, with an athletic profile in the 94th percentile. The issue is you don't see it very often. Like, his best threat might be an outside-to-inside pass-rushing role, and I don't know if they want to be that multiple or that versatile up front. But more mocks that I've seen from national people that are very connected puts him in this kind of Miami Dolphins 15 to 25 range. And that would be shocking to me because of the position he plays. But who knows? It might happen.
So one more on the best case side of things. If we're talking edge rusher at 15, and I noticed you have Brian Burns one spot ahead of Kentucky's mm-hmm. Josh Allen, who this past season on the field at Kentucky was one of, if not the best defensive players in the country. Allen was a really highly productive player for the Wildcats. Charlie Casserly, who's, you know, I know, everybody knows Charlie Casserly. He's the general manager of the Stars at this point. He has a scenario where Allen could maybe slip all the way to 15, that if Allen gets past 4 or 5, that maybe guys start taking Brian Burns or Rashawn Gary just because they're intrigued by their package instead of what Allen is on the field, a super hard worker without any of the really outrageous measurables. Could you see something like that happening?
No, because we talked about with Sweat, like there's an issue with his medical potentially with some teams.
Right.
With Gary, he just hasn't developed at all, and he really wasn't productive at Michigan. Like, Josh Allen is neither one of those things, right? He's someone who stayed for his senior season, got better, improved, posted a very good athletic profile, and was super productive his final season. So for a position that is that much of a need for teams, I just don't see a player like that ending up falling on draft day. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up.
So our most likely scenario with the 15th overall pick, I think you and I are in agreement that the Redskins are probably going to take the best edge rusher available. And maybe that's a guy like Montez Sweat, Rashawn Gary that slipped, or maybe it's a guy like Brian Burns that is just there because that's the way the draft unfolds. Is that accurate? Am I reading your tea leaves correct?
See, I don't think Brian Burns is going to be there because, like, if a Sweat falls, if a Gary falls, that means a team
that's
still need an edge rusher. Brian Burns goes up to them. Like, I think 14 to Atlanta is as far as Brian Burns is going to be on the board. So I honestly, and again, everything can be wrong the week of the draft, I just don't see how Brian Burns is still on the board at 15.
Well, let me ask you this. We're going to pivot to best case then.
Because well, can I hear what you think your best case is or what you think
it's coming right now. You ready?
Okay, good.
All right.
Yep.
Here we go. Best case scenario for the Washington Redskins. And I don't know that this is going to happen, but this is the best case scenario I present. The Redskins trade their second round pick and get Josh Rosen as their quarterback. That leaves them at 15 to take a player they desperately need to balance their offense, and that is TJ Hockenson, the Iowa tight end. That requires him slipping out of the top 10, which I know a lot of folks don't think will happen, but this is my best case scenario for Redskins fans. What say you, Mr. Norris? Can Hockenson get to 15, and can Josh Rosen be had for a second? And maybe that's a poo-poo platter of a second round pick, a fourth round pick in 2020, and a third round pick in 2021. Maybe they mix that up, but it means not giving up 15 to get Rosen.
Yep. Let me split that up into two parts, okay? With the Hockenson one, sure, yeah, I think it can happen because even when you go back to, remember O.J. Howard coming out of Alabama, people thought he was like the easiest evaluation ever. They mocked him in the top 10. I believe he lasted until pick number 19. And it makes sense, right? Because like, even if you love an evaluation of a tight end, one, they're not perfect, and two, it can take them a while to develop. And so I think Hockenson could stay on the board longer than we expect. Now, the opposite side of that is probably not. Probably not. And maybe number 7 to Jacksonville, he might get selected. Maybe Detroit at number 8, who has looked at tight ends for multiple years. The Packers at 12 obviously need an inline tight end and T.J. Hockenson's type. But those are the three spots where he really has to make it past the board to make sense at 15. But he does make sense for the Redskins.
So if he gets past 12, you think the Skins could get him?
Yes, because I don't see the Dolphins taking him at 13, who just took Mike Gesicki last year, or 14 with Austin Hooper there. So 15, he would probably be on the board of that, case.
And what about Rosen for a second or a collection of seconds and other picks?
Yeah, let me ask you this, because I believe Adam Schefter just posted a podcast today. Did you tweet this?
That, I did, yeah.
That Rosen wasn't even mentioned to the Redskins. Like, it was the Chargers that was Schefter's the Dolphins and someone else.
Yeah, it's Schefter's top three locations for Rosen were the Giants, the Dolphins, and the Chargers. And I certainly think that's all possible, but I also think that will change four times by Thursday night when I think the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray, and then all of a sudden they're like, okay, we got to move this other guy because we're not bringing the two of them together.
And it's not just the landing spot for Josh Rosen that's interesting, right? It's also the worth, the value.
Sure.
Like, what if only one team is left in the Josh Rosen sweepstakes? And so he might only draw like a third round selection at that point.
It'd be wild.
That's a really fascinating situation for me to watch. And if you think that the Redskins are interested in Josh Rosen, I would be all for it. I would love it because we've talked about it last time.
You think he's a fit?
Yeah, he fits because it's a very good offensive line with healthy, and it's an offensive coordinator that wants his quarterback to play inside of structure and to kind of execute and be his arm on the field. And that is Rosen's strengths when he's playing his best.
Let's talk about another quarterback that here locally has a ton of interest. That's Dwayne Haskins, played the one season at Ohio State, lit it up for the Buckeyes. 50 touchdowns are in a season, his video game numbers. Haskins... quickly, my worst case scenario, I think, is the Redskins trading up to get a quarterback inside the top five, unless that's Kyler Murray. If something crazy happens and Kyler Murray's available at 3, go get him, fine. But don't go to number 3 for Dwayne Haskins. Don't go to number 7 for Drew Lock. Don't do any of that. That's my worst case scenario. Norris, the scenario I want to ask you, what are the chances Dwayne Haskins gets to 15 and the Redskins can just take him at their spot?
Yeah, I think that's super solid. I mean, I think it's super possible in terms of number 6. I'm just looking at the teams right now. Number 6, the Giants. Obviously, they've been connected to quarterbacks. And really, it's the Bengals at 11, and that's about it. Maybe 13, but I really think Miami's just punting the position until 2020. Right?
I mean,
it is crazy. But
Denver, too, I wouldn't count out.
Yeah, with Haskins... I mean, look, it's all the same evaluation as Josh Rosen in many ways. And look, we've seen one at the NFL level, one we haven't. But it's the same type of player and someone that's confined to structure, someone that's confined to the pocket and will hopefully hit receivers at multiple levels of the field inside of structure. But The team that might want to trade out the most, like you mentioned, is the Jets at number three. But I also would keep in mind the Lions at number eight. They were super aggressive in moving up in last year's draft, and this year they might sit back a little bit more in the second year of Matt Patricia and want to move back a bit more often.
Give me a percentage that Haskins is at 15. Is there for the Redskins at 15?
60%.
All right. Man, 60% chance Haskins is there. Does this draft feel the most wide open in years to you, Norris? I think a lot of it is there's no consensus among these quarterbacks. Like, generally, you know, all right, at least two of these guys are going top 10. I think we know Kyler Murray, but after that, Jones, Locke, Haskins, everything seems so up in the air, and in turn, that puts the rest of this thing on its heels.
Yeah, I feel like I say that every year, you know? So, look, at least it gives us a job. It gives us something. Yeah, it gives us something to talk about this time of year. But, yeah, I mean, truly at the quarterback position this year, maybe more than any other, it's one guy at the top and then a bunch after that. And it's the flavors, it's the types, it's really what you're looking for, the traits at that position. And some will prefer Haskins, some for Locke, and maybe some for Daniel Jones somehow. But, yeah, I mean, I really think there's a strong chance that just two go off the board in round one. And so that means that Haskins could be there at 15 for sure.
All right. I very much hope you're wrong about that, because Mitch Tischler and I have a bet, a dinner bet.
What is the bet?
I have four quarterbacks going in the first round. When we made this bet, it was a much more bullish quarterback environment. I'm hanging on to it, but we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, our viewers and our listeners are probably drooling over the chance of Haskins being there at 15. Let's take a quick break for them to pick their jaws up off the floor, get their mind right, because we got a lot more talking to do, including what's the most likely trade scenario for the Redskins.
I believe I'm a quarterback, and I think that's something that you got to kind of be a little bit stubborn on, especially at that position. You know, there's going to be people who are going to always tell you you can't do it for whatever reason. And as a quarterback, you got to always stick to your guns and you know, be the same person every single day. If there's something that they need me to do outside of that, I'm going to be a guy that, because of my athletic ability and the fact that that I'm a really good football player all around, is something that I'm going to be able to do that.
I am Trace McSorley.
That's right. He is Trace McSorley. I am JP Finley. That is Josh Norris. Norris, we appreciate you taking the time with us. That I Am the Prospect series is very cool. If you haven't watched some of that, I think as a guy who invests so much time in the pre-draft process, you'd enjoy kind of seeing it first person from the prospect's eyes. I laid out briefly there my worst case scenario for the Skins, which is overpaying to trade up for a quarterback you might be able to get at 15 anyway. What would be your worst trade scenario for the Skins? Because I think you don't really like Daniel Jones. And what if the Skins just chill and wait and take Jones at 15?
Do you think that's possible? Do you think they might like Jones that much?
Charlie Casserly says it is. I believe Charlie.
Wow.
Did you hear what Gil Brandt said about Daniel Jones?
Yeah, and, you know, actually, funny story. I think Gil Brandt is the only person who's blocked me on Twitter. I don't know how, what I did to Gil Brandt, but I feel like I'm a nice person.
You
JP.
Are
you can
an
stick
easygoing,
up
nice guy.
And Gil Brandt has me blocked on Twitter. Like, I don't know how that happened.
That's awesome.
Worst case scenario for
so
me.
So you
would
didn't
be,
see what Gil Brandt said about Daniel Jones.
No, there you go, there you go. Worst case scenario for me would be starting the wide receiver run, okay?
And even if it's Marquise Brown and betting on the physicals?
Well, okay. I just think starting the run in this wide receiver class at number 15 is a little dicey, because maybe in a perfect scenario, they trade out a bit, right? They trade out 5 or 10 spots. And I know Doug Williams said that they're more likely to drop back than they are to move up, right? But with DK Metcalf, who's widely viewed as the top receiver in this class, even though that's being chilled a little bit now, he has some major flaws. He only played on one side of the field. He only ran 3 routes, and he certainly hasn't finished every single season that he's played at the college level, and that means limited production. Now, Marquise Brown is someone who I absolutely would love, and it certainly seems like they want a go-to primary option at that wide receiver group. But Marquise Brown might not be that type that every single year you can count on him catching nearly
100
balls.
He's 165 pounds.
Yeah, and like 60 pounds lighter than someone like DK Metcalf. Right. But he does offer that DeSean Jackson type ability to open things up, but I mean, JP, isn't that why they paid Paul Richardson that money last offseason?
Sure is. Sure is. So you're saying the worst case scenario for the Skins is to go wide receiver at 15, whoever it is.
And start that run, because I think that unless you have one player at that spot that is ranked highly, well, much higher than anyone else at that position, then you can kind of pick from a cluster of really, really good prospects. I think it's a good receiver class. I just don't want to be the first one, just like the cornerback group, to start that run.
I think it's a good receiver class, but it lacks a star. And I think that's why you're not going to see a wideout go till 2022, something like that. Yeah. And Norris, I'm glad you said that. Maybe 2 weeks ago, a week ago, time is kind of melding together here. But I wrote something about my bold predictions for the NFL draft. And my number one bold prediction was that the Redskins would not take a wide receiver at 15. If you remember, coming out of the combine, there was a lot of connectivity, I'll say, between DK Metcalf and the Redskins. Mm. Metcalf spoke glowingly about Jay Gruden and kind of the way he coaches his wideouts. I don't see that happening. I think you're dead on for that. You do not think Daniel Jones should be picked at 15, though, correct? You don't think he should go in the first round.
I don't have Daniel Jones in my top 100 overall. And that's just my evaluation. Like, I understand.
The CAA guys are going to call you, man. CAA hears and sees everything, dude. His agency does not like that, Norris.
When you look at Daniel Jones, I mean, okay, if we're trying to put this evaluation in perspective, I guarantee you the reason that he's being projected so early is because he's crushing the meetings, he's crushing these visits, and he's crushing the psychoanalysis test, and he was coached by David Cutcliffe. But then when you watch him, one, he doesn't attack the field vertically, and I understand he was injured. But two, he also is someone that stared down receivers on outside breaking routes and threw the ball with limited velocity, and then those passes were picked off. Yeah. And that's just not what I view as a number 15 overall.
We're watching his highlight tape right now, and watch his feet. They're connected to cinder blocks. I don't see it. I don't think it's the right move. I laid it out in a story on the My Teams app this morning. It's not the case I would make. There is a case for Daniel Jones because the Redskins want to win ugly, low-scoring football games, and they need a quarterback that won't mess it up. I do think you can make the case that Daniel Jones is the safest of any of these quarterback prospects, because Murray, you got to completely rebuild your offense. Haskins, you just don't know. He's started for a year, has shown no ability to read NFL-level defenses. Drew Locke is very inconsistent. Jones isn't that good, but he's also not that bad.
JP,
and I don't know that that's a selling point, but here we are.
You know who the safest is of this group if you want to go that route? It's Josh Rosen for a second-round pick.
There you go. There you go. Well, all right, that brings us then. What are the most likely trade scenarios for the Skins? I know in a lot of your mock drafts and stuff, you either do or don't include trades.
Yep.
But we know they're going to happen. They happen every draft. We know Roger Goodell is going to come to that podium and say, we have our trade. So if you had to guess where they come from, one thought that's kind of been rotating in my mind for a while now is that I don't think the Giants are going QB at 6. You think the Giants go QB at 6?
No.
The Giants need a quarterback. The Giants have a worse quarterback situation than the Redskins, and that includes Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, and Alex Smith that's not going to be playing.
Wow.
I think quarterback for the Giants at 17 is absolutely in play. What are the chances the Skins can trade back with another team that wants a quarterback because they know they have to get in front of the Giants? Skins are at 15, Giants are at 17.
I'll go another one that might be a trade-up. You look at the Carolina Panthers, who pick just after the Washington Redskins, right, at pick number 16. There are two major needs that the Panthers have, and one is edge, and it's the same thing as Washington. So if one's on the board, then maybe both are interested. But the other part is a true left tackle, okay? The team that needs a tackle in this draft, maybe more than the Panthers, are the Houston Texans at pick number 23, okay? So what if the Redskins drop from 15 down to 23, and then in that 23 spot, maybe they fill that tight end with Noah Fant, or they fill that guard need that they have with a Cody Ford.
Or a corner there could make a lot of sense.
Or a corner there, or a wide receiver there. Like, that's where those talents match up with the value of those positions. Meanwhile, you have the Texans maybe jumping the Panthers for an Andre Dillard or a Jawan Taylor or a Cody Ford, someone like that. That scenario makes a ton of sense to me.
That is quite juicy, Mr. Norris, and I'll add to it just with a little bit of perspective. The Redskins and the Texans have made draft day trades. If you remember the trade that landed Josh Doctson with the Redskins, which I'm sure plenty of fans are shaking their head. But that was a Skins-Texans trade. We know that ownership there gets along, and Bruce Allen has a relationship there. So that one makes a lot of sense. Whenever I'm looking at potential draft day trades, I like to see if there's a historic organizational connection, flow between the two. Yeah. And I think that is a spot that would make sense. Another one that jumps out to me is the Raiders hold two picks in the last, you know, five picks of the draft or whatever it is. Obviously, the Skins and the Raiders are on pretty good grounds communicating back and forth.
JP.
Yes.
Can I, and maybe this will get me in trouble, but I'm going to do it anyways.
Just because
I love you. Okay? I got a little tip this weekend.
Oh, okay? Let's go.
And you can tell me if I'm off base here, okay? But a little birdie this weekend mentioned that the Washington Redskins are very, very interested in Maryland safety Darnell Savage.
I heard the same tip, Josh Norris.
Look at us. And to me, 23 seems early, but it's not too early for a player that you love. Look at what they did last year with Daron Payne, right? They loved Daron Payne, moved back just a little bit, I believe. And then that's what they were able to do and select the player that they wanted. Darnell Savage might be the exact same thing. Someone that comes in and fills either a safety role in the back half of the field or someone that can play a slot corner role moving forward. And we know Landon Collins where he wins. Or Darnell Savage, if you haven't gone and watched him, watch
Steve.
Him. If you already watched him, go back and watch him even more because he's a player that really grows on you. And that's a link to me, JP, that I believe this time of year.
Well, and Norris, I'll add this. I have heard that the Skins might even be meeting with Savage this week. And he's
look local. At us. We didn't even talk about this beforehand.
No, we didn't plan this at all. You just got to get on the Beltway. You can get from Ashburn to College Park. As long as it's not rush hour, you can get there inside 90 minutes anyway. That's a good little nugget. I wonder about Savage because he's not going to be there when they pick in the second round. When you start hearing Kuiper and Jeremiah and all these guys talk about Darnell Savage as a possible first round pick, that means he's gaining steam going into Thursday night. Norris, we got to run. I want to leave it with this question. What makes this Redskins draft a success for you? If by the time we talk again next week, how can you say the Redskins were successful?
A player to build around, okay? The player that will be here on their second contract, whether that's T.J. Hockenson that you can build around the tight end spot, whether it's an edge rusher like Montez Sweat or Rashawn Gary that rarely make it there, or even a wide receiver that they get that can be their true vertical number one in some ways, that's a success. And trading for Josh Rosen. I'll keep adding that and bringing it up even if Schefter doesn't want to. Josh Rosen.
The Rosen trade just makes so much sense.
It does.
You got to wonder, is it smoke that they don't want anybody knowing they're going? Bruce Allen works in secret on trades. That much I know. The Case Keenum thing came out of left field. The Alex Smith thing came out of left field. Maybe Josh Rosen will come out of left field too. It makes sense on a million levels. Norris, these streams have been a lot of fun, man. Thank you for taking the time.
See you, buddy.
We'll do it again on the other side of the NFL draft. Make sure you stay on the My Teams app all week. We got streams constantly. Just keep updating it. We're on. Thanks for watching.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.